Hi, everybody, and welcome to Vassals of Kingsgrave, the offshoot of a podcast of Ice and Fire. Today, I am joined by Dagos Rivers.
Hi there, my name is Glenn Dagos Rivers from the podcast of Ice and Fire Forums.
And my name is Bina 007, and we are going to discuss This Is England, which was originally a 2006 film directed by Shane Meadows, and then became a spin-off miniseries called This Is England 86, 88, and 90. And This Is England 90 has just finished airing in the UK, and it just seemed like a really nice time to do a retrospective VOK on it. Also because I think Shane Meadows isn't going to do another one, has he announced?
Well, so he has said for a long time, This Is 90 would be the final one.
Okay.
And he was trying to fit it around the theme of the FIFA World Cup. So FIFA World Cup 90, that would be the final one. So there would be no more.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, it goes without saying that we're going to spoil that film, the miniseries. But they're definitely worth checking out if you haven't already. And the theme of the series, I guess, is to have been set in the British subculture of, I guess, punks and ska, I guess, in the early 1980s. And the films deal with the same group of people, so you see them as actors and as characters evolve over that period of 1983 through 1990. And you encounter really serious issues like racism and the Falklands War and guilt and sexual abuse and drug abuse and all sorts of stuff that was going on in what was a very socially riven time. Is that fair? But they're very funny films too, as well. I don't want to underestimate just how
that's
funny.
Right, there is element of comedy to it. So every series, there has always been, I think, usually the opening episode, which is like, there's no drama at all. It's just comedy introducing the characters, but then they hit you hard with the second and third episodes.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think what's quite nice about This Is England is, it's number one, it's a chronicle of a time that I grew up in, but more it's because it's not set in London or like Manchester, like one of the big cities. It's more just how these big things impacted on smaller towns and just normal people. So I think it's really unusual in British TV and just incredibly well drawn. I think quite autobiographical for Shane Meadows.
Shane Meadows did say that he wanted to do 1986 for 3 years later, because at the time that was like sort of a parallel with like modern day, you know, with unemployment rates and like hopelessness that people were feeling. So trying to draw it back to the 1980s when people were going through the same thing except without the internet.
Yeah. So anyway, like, how did you come across this, and do you see This Is England at the cinema, and have you loved all of it, or are there series that you like some more than others?
I remember back in 2006 I heard about the movie, and just that, I don't know if it was nominated for awards or maybe some reviews in the newspaper, but I didn't really decide to watch it or really find it that interesting. So it wasn't until the TV series came out that I watched that, and then I went back and watched the movie, and then I've always watched it on TV, the TV series, when that comes on.
I mean, it's worth saying, isn't it, for listeners, that when these series are on, they are quite an event. I mean, people really do anticipate them, and, you know, it's a big thing on Channel 4, and you get the recaps in The Guardian, but it is quite, I think it's kind of event TV. Do you think that I'm going to?
Yeah, I would say that too, like one of the big shows on Channel 4. And
yeah.
So Shane Meadows did say that something to do with his partnership with Channel 4, like his films always go on Channel 4 or Film 4, so he was able to bring the series to Channel 4.
Oh, okay, cool. And so, yeah, do you like all the miniseries equally? Or
I think I liked 1988 the best. That was my favourite one.
Okay, yeah.
And then it would be 1990, then 86.
I suppose we'll get into it, won't we? But I think it'll be really fascinating to discuss the ending. How would you like to do it? Do you want to discuss like the different things or just the storylines maybe?
Maybe if we break it down by movie, 86, 88, then in 90.
Okay, so let me try and quickly summarise This Is England, the movie.
I can do Well, I can
Oh,
do
cool.
1986 and 1988 because I've written summaries for them.
Okay, so I'll do the movie in 90. That's perfect. So the movie is set in 1983, and the protagonist is this 12-year-old kid called Sean, who his father's just died in the Falklands War, which is England's war with short war against Argentina over the Falklands Islands. And basically, he's joined a gang of skinheads led by a guy called Woody, who's basically quite nice. And I think what's quite interesting is the skinheads sort of start off as actually being quite influenced by West Indian musical culture. So one of their members is a Jamaican guy called Milky. But then Combo comes out of prison, which is a theme in these shows, right? And Combo is definitely a nationalist, a racist. And under his influence, the gang does go more towards the racist side, I guess, and Sean becomes influenced by him. So basically, the culmination of the movie is you see the rift between the kind of original skinheads and the more racist ones, and that although Milky is one of their friends and is part of that group, that eventually Combo just becomes worked up by kind of how well his family is doing. I think there's a bit of jealousy in that, and just ends up just working himself up and almost out of nowhere just beating him to a pulp. And I think in the original film, we don't really know if he's alive or dead. So it's kind of like this quite nice way in which Sean is taken in by a group, just turning into something really vicious and mean and horrible, I think. Is that accurate? I'm trying to think if I've left out any major
I think that's
story
I tried
lines.
to think about what happened in the film too, and I think those were the main things that did happen.
I suppose Sean fancies an elder. So the comedy aspect is Sean fancies this girl called Michelle Smell, and she's like much taller and older than him, and she dresses kind of all new wave, and she's played by this actress Rosamund Hansen, who just has this really kind of like deadpan, kind of like totally unimpressed way, like tone, which is really funny, and they make a really cute odd couple. It's a bit, to me, they're a little bit like Aria and Gendry. They're just quite cute, like mismatched, but just sort of quite funny. And what's happening with Lol in this one? So Lol and Woody are going out,
I don't really
but
remember
Combo fancies
much.
Lol.
I don't really remember much about what she does in the movie. The only thing I can remember is when she cuts Sean's hair, and then
Yeah, into
her
the
mother
skinhead.
like walks up to the gang and is like telling them off for doing that and not even consulting her in the first place. And then she's like cowering in the corner
Yeah,
against the
I think
mother.
it is weird though, because Lol in the movie, I don't think is that big a character played by Vicky McClure, but I think in the TV shows she becomes a really major character, and I think she won a lot of BAFTA acting awards for her role. And I think a lot of the fondness people feel for the series is because of Lol rather than the other characters. But it's interesting. I mean, like the events of this film, so the final Combo beating up Milky, I mean, that is the event that resonates through all the miniseries. So it does just follow that through.
Talking of
So.
Vicky McClure and some of the other actors like Milky and I think Woody, so Shane Meadows is sort of like I guess Christopher Nolan and like reusing actors in other movies that he does. So it's like a lot of actors from like This Is England appear in other movies that he has done.
Yeah, definitely. And actually not in many other things. So I think Thomas Turgeese really who plays Sean and I guess was the protege of Shane Meadows. I haven't really seen him in much other stuff. And same with Andrew Shilm, who plays Milky. I haven't seen him in much other stuff. But they're really good actors, all of them. It's a great ensemble cast. And they're really believable as a group of friends, because I think obviously they're coming together every few years to film this stuff. So there's genuine camaraderie between them, I feel.
I feel like This Is England 90 was like there was plans for it earlier on, so I'm not sure why there was such a big gap between 88 and 90.
Well, Gendry had to go off and be
True.
Gendry, guess. Yeah, so I'm not sure why there was a gap either. So anything interesting to say about this film? I guess like the music is fantastic. The music is always good with Shane Meadows. Like it's really puts you in the moment and great pop classics.
That's right. Is it something that do you feel a lot of nostalgia from watching the movie and the show
Definitely.
about the time period?
Yeah, definitely. Like the music especially the later ones, because then I'm like, I would have been 1983, I'm like sort of six, so like very little, but as it gets further on, then definitely. But I think those issues of like, I remember when I was little and seeing like the National Front and skinheads, and you know, like the only ever time in my life when I've had verbal racist abuse was actually at that age by a skinhead who called me a packy. So I think it's kind of, it does touch on those times, and they were harsh times, right? England was very divided, Scotland probably too, like the Thatcherite reforms were very unpopular, people were really suffering, so I think it captures a little bit of just how socially divided it all was, and I remember that very clearly. So yeah, but how about you, because you're much younger than me, so is it more, how do you approach it, just as a way into that time? Or
I don't really remember much. I was only 1 year old in 1990, aww, and so I don't really remember much. I guess if it was maybe a few years later, I would have sort of felt a nostalgia for it. Well, there was actually this show on, I think it was on BBC a few years ago, and mm-hmm. it was like sort of similar to this show, except a comedy about a 12-year-old boy. So it was okay. This show called Beautiful People. And it did a lot of like 90s things, like the Spice Girls and Titanic.
Oh my goodness. Everyone watching Friends.
Oh yeah, exactly, Friends.
Brilliant. Yeah. So I'm trying to think what the impact was of this film. I mean, it's low budget, but it took a lot of money, I think. And it got really good reviews. But I guess it's interesting that he chose to make a miniseries rather than another movie.
Did you watch the episode of Alan Carr where the cast came on for an interview? That was for the, like, a few months ago, I mean.
Oh, no, I didn't realise.
Yeah, it was just to promote the first episode. And then there was this funny thing where it was Vicky McClure, Thomas Turgis and Stephen Graham, they were on for the show. And they were talking about cancer and how his... Thomas' mother had died from cancer, so they were talking about aww. A charity, Cancer Relief. So they decided to. So it was also about how. So Thomas, who plays Sean in the movie, he's got like a bunch of tattoos on his ass from like
really?
Friends or girlfriends, and like it showed you a picture on Alan Carr. And then the joke was that if they could raise £10,000, then he would put Alan Carr on his ass. So eventually they raised the money, and then they put that. Well, it was actually Alan Carr was here on his ass. And then they had
hilarious.
Him back on. Alan Carr did a end of year show. Oh, no, like a stand up to cancer show. And they had him back on to do the tattoo with a professional tattooist.
Okay. That is quite funny. I don't know. So, but you watched the film after you watched the series. So was that weird, like going backwards, or was it okay?
Yeah, I think it was okay. So I did start off with the 86 series, then finished that and decided to watch the movie. So I guess there wasn't like the same connection to the characters when I first started watching the show.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything else we should talk about. I mean, there's a very famous speech in the film that if you ever go to YouTube clips of it, it'll always be Combo's speech where he actually uses the phrase, "This is England." And I think it's quite pivotal because it's where he kind of comes back to the gang and he sees that there's basically a black guy in it, Milky. And he asks him, and it's really tense actually, says, "Milky, I just need to ask you, are you Jamaican or are you English?" And then Milky answers English. And then he like does this whole speech about, this is England. This is what England is. This is what we do. You know, it's quite powerful. But I like it because, I mean, I think to me what the film was is, you know, growing up as a young coloured person, like skinheads were really scary. So it showed you that they were quite vulnerable, that it's quite differentiated. Like I had no idea that there was the whole kind of West Indian music ska kind of influence. So it gave me a much more nuanced and differentiated view, I guess, which is why I think it's a really important film. But I guess on to 1986.
Oh sure.
Unless you got anything to say on the film.
No, not really.
Okay, fair enough then.
Okay, well, 1986 picks up 3 years later, and Woody and Lol take more of a central role within the TV show. So it's Woody and Lol's wedding day, and the
Of
gang
course,
travel by
yes.
bus to the wedding, to the council hall where they're getting married.
This is definitely not the four weddings and a funeral style English wedding, put it that way.
But on the day, Woody calls off the wedding. I can't remember what the reason was, if it was just because he wanted a larger wedding, but they did call it off. And around the same time, that's when Sean leaves school. He does his final exam, flunks it, just doesn't even bother studying for it, and just like basically fails it. But then he's getting picked on by two guys, so Gendry and some other guy called Flip. And then he leaves
And
school.
yeah, it's quite funny. Anyone who ever fancied Gendry in Song of Ice and Fire, he's just, especially in This Is England 90 with that like sort of frosted blonde hair job, it's not a flattering look.
No. So yeah,
But sorry, carry on.
no, that's okay. He leaves school and then sort of like mopes around, just he's unemployed. His mum's like, go to the job centre, but eventually his mum starts dating Mr. Sandu, who was the shopkeeper in the film that was
Yeah,
attacked.
an Indian
Yes.
shopkeeper. Yeah.
And he gives Sean a job at his video shop, and like he gets money for like based on how many people like rent the videos. So Sean, because of the attack on Milky, distances himself from the gang, so he's not really talked to them that much, or really he's not no longer friends with them. But then eventually they rejoin again, so they become friends again, and the gang, Woody and the gang, help Sean against Flip and Gendry. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, is it? It's not Harvey, is it? It's
No, that's Harvey was the bully in the
the
film.
drug. Yeah, he's the one who then becomes like the drug
Like
dealer.
he
He's
becomes
actually.
friends with, yeah, the gang, even though it's unexplained. Although I was reading
Oh,
that.
Higgy, that's it.
Oh, yep, Iggy.
Flip and Higgy. And so I suppose that the point about the film is that everyone has these crazy nicknames.
Yeah,
Like, yeah.
exactly.
Anyway, sorry, carry on.
I was reading a bit of trivia that Harvey in the film was just like a small role. He was the bully, but then when Jack O'Connell was doing Skins, he couldn't come back to do This Is England, so Harvey replaced his character, the character played
Okay.
by Jack O'Connell.
But he's a really good actor, so I'm kind of pleased that happened. And again, it's like it's I haven't really seen I think his name's Michael Socha, Soccer. Haven't seen him in much else.
I know that he's related to Kelly from Misfits. That's
Oh,
his
really?
brother. That's
Okay.
her brother.
Hilarious. Okay.
But the central story of the program is Kelly and Lol's father returns and
Oh,
starts
God.
dating their mum again.
Mick.
And yep, Mick. But Lol is opposed to this because I can't remember if she tells Kelly this, but he did molest her as a child, and then her mum throws her out the house, and she's sort of like acting in self-denial, Lol's mum. So
Yeah,
then.
I think it's very implied. I'm not sure it's ever stated that he sexually abused her, but clearly Lol does not want him anywhere near the family.
No, and definitely away from Kelly as well.
Yeah, her younger sister, yeah. And the
So I've.
mum's reaction, I think, is really powerful. And I just think, kind of, probably quite true to life, but just it's always very viscerally weird to see a parent not defending their child but backing the other parent. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's there's something really weird about that.
If my experience of reading, I guess, Agony Aunt's letters, it's very realistic, the
Yeah, I think
reaction.
so. I think so. Just too, it's just too much for the mum to confront. She sees her chance of happiness being in a couple again and just doesn't want to upset things. And it's just horrific, really.
But after Lol and Woody fall out, her and Milky start having a sexual relationship. It's sort of a secret thing. but they meet every so often, have sex. But then Milky and Lol are together one day, and her father comes around, but he doesn't defend her at all. Milky against the father, and then that causes her to fall out with Milky. And then eventually, well, around the big story is Trev, who is Kelly's friend. She comes over to the house to see Kelly so that they can go to the pub to watch the football game, but she's already out. So her father rapes Trev and then throws her out of the house. Then the next day, Trev confesses that to Lol, and then she storms over to her father's place, and she threatens him with a hammer.
Oh
Then
God. Yeah. Just remembering it now, it's horrific.
after he retaliates, like, he's got her on the floor, he's threatening her, and he's just about to rape her, so she lashes out and hits him with the hammer and eventually kills him.
Yeah.
And
That was a really tough episode to watch.
that's right, especially, yep, episode 3 and 4 were really tough to watch.
Yeah, really tough.
So around this point in time, that's when Combo returns to town, and he visits Lol's house, and witnesses Lol after the in the aftermath after the murder, and breaks into the house, and then takes the rap for Lol and gets sent to prison instead of Lol for the murder of her father.
So this is interesting. Why do you think he does that? Is it because he used to fancy Lol? Like he confesses in the film that he never got, like they'd had a one night stand back in the day and he'd never gotten over it. Or do you think it's guilt over Milky, like beating up Milky, and so he just feels he needs to be punished for some for that, so he may as well get punished for this?
I think it is redemption, that he's thinking of his attack on Milky, and he's thinking that this is the one good thing that he can do in his life, and he cares a lot for Lol, so he'll take the time over her, and he's more likely to cope in prison compared to her, whereas that would break her as a person, whereas he's been there before, so it's not as bad for him to go back.
I mean, it's weird in a way, isn't it? Because there's all that kind of that content which is really tough and really painful to watch. But at the same time, I mean, I remember very clearly in that episode 3, the one with the horrible sort of rape scene, is also the one where, you know, the kids are playing on a Commodore 64, which I remember very
Oh
clearly. It was
yeah.
like a sort of like really like ancient computer, but at the time just seemed really awesome and cutting edge. So like there's little scenes like that which really take you back to your own childhood and seem very lighthearted and very realistic. And then, you know, there's always the football on in the background, right? Because this is the England Argentina Hands of God World Cup. So there's all that stuff happening that's really puts a smile on your face, and at the same time all this like really horrific social realism, I guess.
Plus the Betamax videos that Sean is
Oh
trying to sell in the video store.
and no one's interested even then. Yeah, no, it's an absolutely brilliant thing. But I think it's that this is the series when I realized that Vicky McClure was such a good actress.
Yeah, this is the show that she won a BAFTA for,
Oh,
which
okay.
surprised me because I thought that she had won for both 86 and 88, but it was just 86 that she won the BAFTA for.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming she's going to win it for 90 whenever that actually happens. But yeah, I have to say, anyone who's a soccer fan, you should watch it just because I think it really captures the feeling of watching the World Cup in 1986 and the national trauma at that England-Argentina match.
And there's always a moment in every series where it's like you're watching something and it's like people are happy, people are dancing, or it's like a joyous moment, like people are celebrating, like watching the football match, but then just watching it and with the way the music is playing, you can tell that there's something that they're all thinking about.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about, I think Shane Meadows captures group fun, like authentic, normal people having fun better than anyone else with the music of the time and everything. But then, because he's a great dramatist, right, there's always that undercurrent of tension and drama. It's so beautifully done. I think it's really hard to do that, right, to balance kind of comedy and, I mean, this is serious stuff. So. And it was huge. It was huge at the time. Everyone watched it. I think it was getting like millions and millions of viewers. and which is amazing because like Channel 4, 11 o'clock at night. So, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. For Channel 4, I think, I think.
I mean, I don't know, what does Empire get? But this was
well,
getting
that's
two
on E4.
Oh, that's true, that's true. But this was getting like 2.5-3 million viewers, which must be a lot more than Channel 4 normally gets.
Yeah, that's a lot for a Channel 4 program.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. So, anything else? Because you really like the series, so anything on 86?
I was just surprised that so many of the characters returned for the series, but then I guess the actors didn't really have much else to do.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
But it's still good that they had, like, even minor characters, like Trudy, that tries to sell Sean shoes in the first movie, that she was back and she was, like, with the gang, she's at the wedding, and then you learn that she slept with, like, all the guy.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely forgotten about her, actually. And I love how, like, Mr. Sandy, who's this random shopkeeper that gets beaten up in the film, ends up becoming, like, quite a big character, right? And part of a family. Cool. So that was made in 2010. And then it was... When was 1988 made?
1 year this later. 2011.
So, yeah, they were coming thick and fast at that point. So, yeah, do you want to summarise 88?
Okay. So this is England 88. It takes place 2 years, well, 2.5 years later. So it's around Christmas time, 1988. And we learn that Lol is now a single mum, and she had a daughter with Milky. And this was a big surprise on the day that they thought it was Woody's child. But then, of course, when it came out and it's not white, then it must be someone else's.
But she must have known she was sleeping. I mean, I found that a little bit sort of, not implausible, just a bit incredible, literally. I was like, how do you not know you were... I mean, not necessarily that it's going to be Milky's, but that you were sleeping with both guys at the same time, so it could be potentially...
Why would it not go through your mind as well?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a little... like a big possibility.
Exactly. So that was a bit sort of, you know, cheesy soap opera, I felt. But anyway, it brings the drama, so there you go.
Oh, a lot of drama. It's a shame we didn't see the drama at the time. But Woody... and his family are there on the day of the birth, and then it's a big shock to him. So after this, Woody and the gang, well, Lol distances herself from the gang and Woody, and then she becomes depressed, and she doesn't really have a lot of contact. Kelly and Trev still visit her, but there's just, she's feeling really depressed and like...
And at this point, Kelly doesn't know what... She certainly doesn't know about the father being abusive, and she doesn't know about Trev, right? The attack on Trev.
Oh, that's what I don't understand. So it's, I didn't realise until This Is England 90 when they have the kitchen scene and they tell her that Trev was raped and I actually killed Dad. But if Kelly was there for the trial, then surely she must have known that that was their defence, that Combo said that he killed Lol's dad because he came to their house and seen him on top of her. Or that's
maybe
what they were saying.
Maybe they were saying at the trial that it was just a violent attack rather than a sexually motivated attack. That he was drunk rather than, I don't know. But yeah, you're right. Actually, I hadn't thought about that. That is a bit weird.
Or even if it was, unless they tried to hide any mention of him raping or molesting anyone, but then...
I mean, maybe they didn't let Kelly go to the trial, but then surely it would all be covered in the press. I mean, that would have been very high profile, surely, in the local area.
You just hear things that you would hear, or you would hear it in whispers that you would find out eventually, especially with such a large group of people.
Yeah. Exactly. No, I agree. That's a bit of a plot weakness, but
it's just some because I went back and watched what I went back and watched the final episode of This Is England 86, and just when Combo breaks in and he's trying to talk to Lol, he's trying to tell her the defense, what, you know, they're trying to sort out stories, what they're going to tell the police, and that included, you know, telling the police that he was raping Lol at the time. So I don't know why they would change their story at that point.
Yeah, no, that's really dodgy. But, you know, I'm going to forgive it because it sets up that brilliant confrontation in This Is England 90.
That's right, the highlight of that season.
Yeah, the highlight. That dinner table scene is just unbelievable. So, yeah, but you're right. It's a complete plot hole, so it's not good.
So Lol then visits Combo in prison and thanks him for taking the blame for her and taking the time in prison instead of her. But she's really... I can't remember when it happens, but she starts befriending a nurse that helps her with the depression too.
Mm.
But I can't remember when this happens, but she eventually tries to commit suicide. But that's stopped by Trev and Kelly, who get there in time, rush her to the hospital.
So at this point, Woody's already shacking up with... He's found a new girlfriend, hasn't he?
That's right, Jennifer. His parents love her.
Of course, because they're good middle-class parents, and she's a good middle-class normal girl.
It sort of reminds me of Roseanne when Becky and Mark split up, and Roseanne's parents are delighted with that. They just love that, and Becky starts dating this other boy who's nice and clean-cut, but then Becky's actually just like, going behind his back and dating Mark at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. It was weird though, that whole suicide, because, it was very dark. This Is England 88. I mean, not as obviously dark as 86, which has all the violence in it, but just the ramifications of everything. Horrible.
I would say that 88 was the least comedic of the three.
Yeah, exactly.
The most dramatic of the three, anyway.
It's sort of like just persistently low-level depressed, whereas the others have this like mixture of high comedy relief and then very high drama in terms of the violence. But 88 was just ramifications, insistent, dark, pretty unremittingly grim, but brilliantly done.
On the bright side, there's a happy ending because Woody rushes to Lol to check on her recovery. This is when he breaks up with Jennifer, and then they start dating again, and he forgives Lol for cheating on him with Milky.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, and Sean splits up with Smell, right?
That's right, Sean has his own smaller storyline. So Sean is in acting college at the time, then continues his relationship with Smell, but then he meets another girl in his course. First of all, Smell breaks them up and they're rehearsing some kissing scene and they're trying to say, no, we're just acting. And then she's like, I don't believe you. Then storms out, but then she comes back again, realizing that, yeah, of course they're acting, they're on a course, I should trust them. But then walks back, finds them in bed, in bed together.
Exactly. Oh, hilarious. I'm trying to think if anything else is happening significantly with the side characters, but I don't think so. It's very much a Lol-centered series. And it was only three episodes long, actually. So it's the shortest of them.
The shortest of the three.
Yeah. And there's no football tournament.
Nope. They might have... I can't remember what they watch. Oh, was it maybe Neighbours? Like the wedding between...
Charlene and Scott. You see, but that was a huge pop culture moment. I mean, that was massive in England when that happened. Like everyone was talking about it like it was a royal wedding. It's hilarious. Okay, so on to This Is England 90.
Yes.
So This Is England 88 was out in 2011. We had to wait 4 years. So it's fair to say it was very hyped, This Is England 90. Like it was real... event TV when it came out earlier this year. So it came out in September in Britain. And it's 4 episodes and it was done as seasons, so spring, summer, autumn, winter. And so when it picks up, you've basically got Woody and Lol are together and basically they're planning their wedding and they're friends with Milky. And it's now the era of 90s rave culture and when... kind of new drugs came into the UK, I guess. So it was the time of ecstasy. So it's sort of like all the music is the Stone Roses and the Manchester scene. And Harvey now becomes a bigger character because he's the drug dealer. So there's a lot of comedy with, is it Flip and Oh, what was the name of the Gendry character
Iggy?
again? I forgot.
Was it Iggy?
Higgy.
Higgy.
Yeah, just trying to score drugs off of off Harvey and just being like completely like they think they're so hard and cool and they're just not at all.
Yeah, for £1.
Exactly. But it's just everything. So you have this like the opening episode as usual. It's just basically people sitting around having barbecues and listening to sort of like, you know, despite Fool's Gold and not really doing much. And then as it develops, it gets really dark because Lol's younger sister, Kelly, evidently is quite disturbed and is taking a lot of drugs and engaging in sexual activity that could or couldn't be consensual. I mean, there's that when they all go off to that rave, that New Age rave. I mean, that was a very disturbing scene. What was your interpretation of that? Because that I just didn't know which way it was going.
Oh, yep. The when they go to the caravan park and like.
Yeah. It's... I mean, I have to say, I don't think anyone shoots. Shane Meadows, sorry, is very good at like showing you the perspective of someone whose mind is literally being altered. So you get that perspective of, like, everything's blurring. But she lets things happen to herself, which, I don't know. And she's in no position to consent, really. But it's horrific. It's such a horrifying scene.
That's right, it is. And it's the scene where I sort of fought back on the series. And I'm not sure it's sort of a... vague sort of concept of whether, or it's ambiguous, that's what I meant to say. It's ambiguous of whether Kelly's dad did molest her or not. And a lot of people on the digital spy forums were sort of saying something along the same lines, that it's sort of hinting that it's hinting that Kelly was raped by her father when she was younger.
But that's like, I don't know, that's really weird though, because like the follow-up to that scene, so you know you were saying before that Shane Meadows often has scenes where everyone else is having a bunch of fun, but something sinister is happening on the side. So this is a classic example where the majority of characters are having like a fun barbecue, but off at the rave this is happening to Kelly. But then the next episode is the absolutely just horrific Sunday dinner confrontation where Lol decides to tell Kelly and get her mum to back her up that this is what the father was doing and this is what happened with Combo, and Combo's coming back and everyone has to be nice to him because this is what we owe him. And Kelly just absolutely won't have it. So the idea is what? That she's like totally suppressed it?
In denial about the whole thing.
And then just like channeling her suppressed angst with the drugs. Is that the sort of...
That's right. Suppressing it, trying to erase it from her mind, or pretending it never happened. And then how she copes with that is the drug taking and sleeping around with other guys.
Sleeping with everyone but Gadget, who actually loves her.
Oh yeah, true. It's, well, it was just that when people were commenting on it on Digital Spy about, probably it means that Kelly was raped herself, but then I've always thought that the opposite, because Lol says something like that's why she lived in the house for so long, because she could have left earlier, like left, got a job, moved out earlier, but she wanted to stay and protect Kelly against her dad. So then it sort of wouldn't make sense if she's, unless he does rape her at like times when she's not around.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, that makes sense. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because it often feels that with the film, and indeed with the first This Is England miniseries, it's often the return of Combo that causes everything to go wrong. So, because everyone has to confront stuff. So here, it's not just that Lol and Woody have to confront, or Lol's family have to confront because Combo's coming back, what was going on. But also, because he's coming back, Lol's got custody of the daughter with Milky. And then Milky's like, well, I'm not having my daughter live in a house where Combo, the man who beat me up, is allowed to come and go as he pleases. So that also causes repercussions, I guess, as we get into the final episode of the season, where Kelly's kind of completely off the... I mean, she's become like a full-on heroin addict, so much so that even drug dealer Harvey has kicked her out. Lol and Woody get married, and there is a sort of reconciliation with Kelly. But the big event of episode four, I guess, is that, you know, at the wedding, Milky's looking very sort of disengaged and shifty, because actually what's happened is that Milky's handed Combo over to a van full of men who are basically, I don't know, either they're going to beat him up really badly or kill him. And it's kind of very ambiguous, like, what is the end of Combo? Just as at the end of the movie, it was ambiguous as to what was the end of Milky. Like, was he going to survive that?
They are definitely going to kill him.
Do you not think he's getting beaten up?
I can't imagine that there would be all this build up to the storyline just for him to get beaten up and then, like, abandoned somewhere. I just think they will kill him.
Gosh. Yeah. People were really pissed off, weren't they, after the end of this episode? Like, there were lots of people online going, I need to know what happened. I need to know. This is terrible. It was like after when Inception was released, everyone was like, what does it mean? There was real angst in the online communities. I thought it was an exceptionally well-written series. I mean, that ending that Milky is going to come full circle and get his revenge from what happened in 1983 and 1990, but that he will never be able to forget it. And so he's as damned by that revenge as anyone else. And I think Lol's going to figure it out, isn't she? Because she's smart and she already is asking him, kind of like The Wire, where's Wallace? Like, where's Combo? What's happening? Have you seen him? So, I mean, they could easily do this. They've set up the seeds for This Is England 92 and 94 if they want it. Put it that way.
Or something like a reunion episode, This Is England 2000s.
Yeah. But the sad thing is, like, I kind of felt like Combo, although he'd done horrible, horrible stuff, was redeemed. I think when he came out of prison, he was at peace. He paid his debt to society by effectively bailing out Lol, and it just seemed awful. Like, would Milky really... Because Milky's a good guy.
Yes, yeah.
And I know that maybe when you have been beaten to the point of near death, that, I don't know, maybe it's hard to sort of forgive someone, but it felt like extreme that 7 years later he's going to hand him over. Like, it really caught me unawares. I did not think that was going to happen.
I feel like there would be pressure on him from his family, so... His family help him out with this situation, and they organize for Combo to be taken away by some, like, it was the white group of people that take him away. So yeah. His family would probably see him as a coward if he didn't react to Combo. And
Horrible, isn't it? I mean,
it is.
You're being social peer pressured into basically being an accessory to murder. I mean, that's horrific.
So I can imagine the scene where it happened back in 1983 and the family talking around each other saying, we'll get him, we'll get revenge. But then nothing happened because he disappeared. But they still made a pact that they'll get him one day. So if the family learned that he had... came back to the town and he had been living there for a few months and Milky had done nothing about it, then, like, Milky is seen as less than a man or, like, a coward. So that's why he felt, like, pressure into reacting, because he was in town.
Mm. Yeah, maybe. But anyway, I think I think the tragedy of that ending is not just what's happening to Combo, who I do truly believe was reformed, but it's what Milky's now going to have to live with. And, you know, if Lol figures it out, like, can you imagine, she's not going to let him around her daughter. And
true.
It's just the reverberations are just going to go on and on for this thing that happened in 1983. We're already in 1990, and it is going to go on to 2000 and beyond. So, yeah, really powerful stuff.
I felt we handled the thing about the drug addiction. I felt that was wrapped up too neatly with Kelly.
Yeah, that was the big criticism from everyone, wasn't it? Has she suddenly become clean within like 5 minutes?
I mean, she's living with a bunch of people that are like taking drugs daily and
She's in a squat, right?
Yeah,
I mean, she's
exactly.
Full on junkie. Yeah. But then I thought it was maybe, and like my entire experience of this basically comes from watching Bubbles and The Wire. Not necessarily that she's become permanently clean and mentally healthy and at peace, but just that maybe she's just, you know, gone through withdrawal and just cleans herself up, but, you know, that she will slip back into it and it's going to be an ongoing struggle. Like, you can have short windows when you manage to sort yourself out, but it's always just one fix away. So, but yeah, it annoyed me. It was a bit too... I tell you, the other thing that annoyed me is that it just felt sometimes like he was trying to put a bow on things and wrap it up. And I felt that way with Sean's new, just ever so sophisticated girlfriend.
I know, his beautiful new girlfriend.
You know, like, I love that an underdog can get all the women, like, and that Sean's like a chick magnet. But that was just, you know, and then that sort of like the dream confrontation, like any of us who's ever broken up with someone and like had them being condescending to us wants to sort of meet them with a new, even hotter, more amazing partner and rub their nose into it, which is what Sean gets. But I just sort of feel that, yeah.
And that then Smell is suddenly desperate to have him back now.
Of course, of course. But that's like in the realm of fantasy, isn't it? That's not reality. Well, it's not my reality anyway.
Although I guess the scene with Kelly and Lol, a very sweet scene when they're just talking to each other after the wedding, and Lola's happy that she showed up to the wedding in the first place. It's sort of realistic, like, if you're an addict, that you would say you're getting better, or because you're ashamed of it, so you want to pretend that it's not happening anymore, or have given it up.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. But, it was just very quick. It was very quick. I don't know. It just feels like in this series, there's been such patience taken. Like, you know, that kind of milky combo revenge has taken 7 years, and yet some storylines take 5 minutes. So it's not very even. But I did like the Sean romance. I like Sean and Smell just make me happy. They're just so funny.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because in the first episode, Sean beats up Smell's new boyfriend, who's like the emo goth.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the milky and combo storyline is sort of the bookend to the Lol and her dad's storyline, and like the rape and the child molestation storyline.
Yeah. Kind of interesting in a way, isn't it? Because if you think about it, like, Sean was the main character in the film, and then by the end of it, he's sort of the comic relief, isn't he?
That's right, and it was, you're right there, yeah, the comic relief to the show.
Hmm.
And Lol and Woody were sort of comic relief in the film, but then they move forward to be central leads in the TV show.
Absolutely. So do you want another series, or are you happy with the way it's been resolved?
I think I'm happy with how it's resolved. You know, if you have too many parts or too many series of the show, then it would spoil it. So I think they've ended it just at the right time. And even though I used to hate ambiguous endings, I've really grown to love them now. Like, back when I was younger, I would hate ambiguous endings to books or movies, but I'd really would want to find out what happens next, and try and discuss it at length with other people online. But I've really grown to love it now, because there's more to think about, more to appreciate with them. So
yeah,
I
agree.
This is
England. I mean, it doesn't bother me. Like, I mean, I would like to know what happened to Combo, because I am that kind of slightly infantile person who just wants to know, but I also think it can play both ways, and it's interesting to discuss. Like, I didn't get the online rage of like, oh, but I need to know.
Yeah, I would hate if there was a This Is England 95 and Combo is back and he's fully reformed, and he's like, or he's something worse, like Combo is back and he's living in like, or he's in a wheelchair or something.
I think, like, sort of narratively, he has to be gone, because then the emphasis needs to be on how does Milky cope with it. I think it's like sometimes when you hear, I really like the way that the Boiled Leather guys talk about all the speculative theories in Song of Ice and Fire, and they say, well, you know, X, Y, and Z could, of course, technically happen, but what narrative purpose would it serve George at this point? And I think that's the same with Combo. Like, Combo could evidently still be alive and come back, you know, in a wheelchair or whatever, but is that going to drive the story forward? No. I think we've gone around that reintroducing Combo thing enough now. We need to, if they're going to do more, it needs to move forward. I'd like to see more of Milky's family, actually.
Oh,
how
yeah.
They feel. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, do they feel guilty for having made Milky do what he did? But yeah, I mean, I would like to see another series. I think it needs a bigger break. It needs a 5 or 10 year span rather than 2 years. So maybe they could do the Germany World Cup. backdrop.
Or they could do something horrible, like focus it on LOL's daughter and her kids, or the kids of the other characters.
Oh, sort of like, you know, this is England, the next generation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if they will, though, because I think, you know, Shane Meadows is kind of my age, so there's kind of like that visceral memory of what it was like when you were a teenager in early 20s. I mean, that's not going to be like, what's he going to write about in the 2000s? Oh, I got a mortgage and a house. I don't think it's going to be as good.
Well, they could do an entire series based on the dot-com boom around the early 90s, the internet expansion, and like how that affects people and like employment.
Yeah, they could. I suppose it depends if when he started making films, because it's going to then... How representative is his life of real life when you catch up to the point where he becomes a film director? You know, is it still all going to be set in Sheffield?
I know that he has said that, you were saying it before, autobiographical, so Sean is sort of like him when he was younger and sort of shares the same experiences that he did as when he was young.
Yeah, I just realised Andrew Shim, aka Milky, is on Twitter.
Oh, right.
let me follow him. Let's see how many followers he has. 27,000 followers. There you go. I don't really have anything else to say on it. I mean, I think it's an amazing series. It's tough. It's harsh. It's not perfect. Like we've said, there are some plot holes. But I think it's sort of... I really feel affection for these characters. I really feel I've grown up with them and I know them. And I can't say that about many TV shows. So.
I love it too, and it's been great to watch it. It's, as you said, it's like a highlight of the week when it comes on. And actually, they always pick like a good time of the year to play it. So I think that This Is England 88 was around Christmas time, so coinciding with the Christmas time when it was at the time.
Yeah, exactly. So how did you like the fact that they did it as seasons this time, so rather than a short time period? Like they stretched out over a whole year. Did you like the whole seasonal thing?
I don't think I noticed until like the final episode that they were doing that.
Hilarious. Yeah.
But it's a good idea to do, so covers the entire year and then it ends at, is it New Year's Day
that
it ends? Yeah. So it's 1991.
Yeah, I didn't notice it as much, but I think it was good because it allowed the story a bit of room to develop and breathe. But yeah, it's still...
Well, I didn't understand when Kelly, like, storms out, leaves after the kitchen scene, and then she disappears for a long time. And in that time, neither LOL or her mum tried to contact her. Whereas she's saying that they didn't. And then she's suddenly, like, gone for months living with Harvey and Gadge.
Yeah, but they must have tried to... I think that's kind of, like, perspective, isn't it? Or I don't know, maybe we don't know. It's worth pointing out, though, that it is funny. Like, that whole scene where, like, her mum's trying to... Not her mum, but LOL's having a bridesmaid inflicted upon her.
And, oh, yeah, Jennifer.
And there is a hilarious scene where she just, like, says, look, you can be in the wedding in a small role, but I don't want you as one of my bridesmaids. I feel uncomfortable about it. And Jennifer just, like starts, like, having this nervous breakdown and feeling unwell and unwanted. And it's just so hilarious. This sort of kind of very, like, awkward, you know, is LOL going to be politically correct? Is she just going to have a go?
That's right, the wedding planning scene where you have... Paul,
Jennifer turns
Woody,
up
the
with a kind of
parents.
like the book of swatches and inspirations and mood boards for the whole wedding.
I think that was my second favorite scene of the show.
Exactly. And like Lol's like, yes, you've planned your wedding, you haven't planned mine. It's so funny. Yeah, so it's always worth bearing in mind that like if anyone's listening to this that hasn't watched it isn't unremittingly grim. I mean, there are moments when you laugh out loud at this show that it's just funnier than anything else on telly.
Are you
Shane Meth.
playing music in the background?
No, I'm sitting in an airport lounge, so I've
Oh,
got some
right.
cheesy 80s. I'm amazed you can hear it though, because I've got headphones in, so it must be very loud if you're picking it up.
I just picked it up over the last minute.
Yeah, no, it's become this like, quite aggressive 80s rock, so which is, appropriate, I guess. Anything else to say on This Is England?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Well, as ever, it's been another Beena and Glenn discuss TV that they've watched and no one else has. So, but it's been fun to chat about it because I do. It's a great series,
Is great. Yep.
And I guess we both encourage everyone else to go and check it out. Cool. Okay. Well, it's been a pleasure as always, Glenn.
Oh, yep, you
And
too.
yeah. So I guess we should formally close out. If you have enjoyed this episode of Vassals of Kingsgrave, you can check out others at vokpodcast.wordpress.com, at vokpodcast on Twitter, and we have a Facebook page and all sorts of other things. But if you want to get involved, and that would be awesome if you do, join the Podcast of Ice and Fire forums and look for threads raising calls to arms. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
I was 21 years when I wrote this song. I'm 22 now, but I won't be for long. People ask me, when will you grow up to be a man? But all the girls I left at school are already pushing prams. I loved you then as I love you still. Though I put you on a pedestal, they put you on the pill. I don't feel bad about letting you go. I just feel sad about letting you know.